Hi, this is Dean Kuntz. Welcome to the podcast. Today I thought I'd talk a little bit about editors and some of my experiences with them. I'm currently with the best I've ever had, and I don't say that just because we're working together and she might hear this. She truly is the best I've ever had. But earlier I had a wide variety of editors because I've been around a while and I've been with a number of publishing houses. And you end up having some stories about that. I had an editor once. I delivered a book. I'll leave it nameless because you will know the book, and that would identify the editor. But I delivered the book, and it was a suspense novel with a very, very fast pace. And when I got back the editorial notes, there were two that particularly disturbed me. The first said, "This is so fast-paced that you need to add another 150 to 200 pages of less interesting material to slow it down." I thought that couldn't possibly be a real request, but it was. My character in this book had a very mundane sort of job. She was a waitress. And the editor suggested it would really be a lot of fun for the reader if you added in 150, 200 pages of background on her job as a waitress and tell the hilarious stories that occurred to her in that line of work. I have a hunch that there aren't a lot of hilarious stories that occur to waitresses in the course of their day. So I declined to do that, declined to add 150 to 200 pages. And the editor's tact then was, "Well, I only want you to do what you are comfortable doing." There was also a sociopath in that book who, in the editor's notes, there was note number two said, "The scenes from the sociopath's point of view are so disturbing that we need fewer of them. We have to minimize those scenes because they're too disturbing and readers will be turned off by them." And note number eight said, "The best thing in this book is the scenes from the sociopath's point of view, so we must have more of them and they have to be expanded." This led me to believe that these were notes from more than one person, not just from the editor, and that the editor perhaps had had them typed up from different people and not reviewed them to see which notes conflicted. When I asked him, "Well, what am I supposed to do? I read these two notes, and I'm not sure I understand this." And there was a long silence on the phone. And he said, "Well, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do," which was hardly an answer. But probably my most difficult experience with an editor was on a book called Strangers. And he was a wonderful editor. But we had a problem that arose in the when I delivered the script. And in Strangers, if you've read it, there are characters who are having very odd things take place in their life. And one of them is a man who is waking up every morning, discovering he has been somnambulating, sleepwalking, and he wakes up in very odd places. And one of the places he wakes up early in the book is in the garage behind the furnace. And every place he wakes up that's odd, he realizes that sometime during the night he went to a hiding place. And behind the furnace is a place he took refuge. He doesn't know what he's hiding from. He doesn't remember his dreams. He doesn't know why this is happening. The editor called me up and said, "Oh, I love the book. There's a lot of notes going to be given to you on it. But one thing really troubles me. It's the furnace in the garage. Why is there a furnace in the garage? The furnace would be in the basement." And this happens early in the book. And the reader sees that furnace in a garage and thinks, "Well, wait a minute. Why would a furnace be in a garage? It'd be in a basement. So we have to put that in the basement." And I said, "Well, this is California, and it's Southern California, and almost none of our houses have any basements, and the furnace is more than likely going to be in the garage." He brooded about that on the phone a minute and said, "I still think it interferes with reading. The reader hits that furnace in the garage and just stops thinking about the story because they're wondering, why is a furnace in the garage?" And I explained again, and he seemed to buy that, and then I got his notes, and the chief note was the furnace in the garage. And he says, "I've noticed also that there's another reference later in the book to a furnace in a garage. And this is twice that readers will be rather thrown." This was a very good editor, but somehow become fixated on the idea of the furnace in the garage. And all the way through the editing of the book and then into typesetting, he would argue with me that this furnace should be removed, or it should be moved, actually, to somewhere else. And finally, when the typesetting came, he said, "Now, the typesetting's here for your proofreading, but even though it's typeset, there's still time to move this furnace out of the garage." So I wrote him this little note back and said, "All right, I'll deal with your concern, but I won't move the furnace. I'll deal with it in a different way. I'll explain to the reader about the furnace in the garage, and here's the paragraph we can insert. In the garage was a furnace, but not just any furnace, an immense furnace, a huge bastard of a furnace, so enormous that the natural gas needed to operate it could have heated the homes of 1,236 families, a furnace of such flagrant excess and ungodly dimensions that no room was left in the garage for cars, a furnace so complex in its engineering and so formidable in its mechanisms that three repairmen had been killed while performing routine maintenance on it, a furnace into which a clever murderer could jam the body of his editor with every confidence that no speck of evidence would survive the flames. His response to that was, point taken, and the furnace stayed in the garage. Thanks for listening to this installment of the Dean Koontz podcast. My new novel, The Husband, is in stores now, and I hope you pick it up, and I hope you enjoy it. And be sure to visit my website, deankoontz.com.